The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
He would like start talking about these fantasies he was having, and it got to the point where it was every single time. Every time we were intimate, he would start talking about this. And one day I had said, I would rather have an open marriage and not know what you're doing than go to these group things. I didn't want this swinging marriage situation.
What would you be willing to do in your relationship in order for you to keep it? Welcome to the Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week, our guest says her ex was begging for an open relationship while they were together, amongst other issues that came up. But if you're new here, this is the podcast that gets to the bottom of those messy breakups that you want to know more about, whether it's somebody you've seen on social media, if you want to tell your own story, if you know a friend with a great story, or if you want me to slide into someone's DMs and ask about their engagement that ended, and you only know because they deleted all their photos on Instagram. You can check out the episode description. I always keep a submission form linked in there. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of the Breakup Breakdown. This week, our guest is on to talk about the boundaries she was willing to cross in order to stay in the relationship she chose, and also the ones she wasn't willing to cross. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week we are shouting out the Hubbard House in Jacksonville, Florida. They are all about safety, empowerment, and social change for victims of domestic violence and their families. For more details on this specific shelter, head to the episode description. So this week's submission is actually a video I got tagged in on TikTok, and it's from a woman who has an account called The Kendra Chronicles. And I'm just gonna let her start off telling her story because the first sentence she said had me instantly interested in her marriage.
My name is Kendra, and when I was 23 years old, I married a registered sex offender. This was a decision that would impact every aspect of my life, and I am going to tell my story.
And of course, I was like, I would love to hear that story, and I knew you guys would too, so let's find out what happened when we break down this week's breakup.
We met working together, and initially, there wasn't this huge attraction or anything like that. He was just very persistent. And at that point in time in my life, I was pretty self-conscious, had a lot of self-esteem issues. And that's kind of how the whole thing started. So him just being very persistent with pursuing me really got me. He also had a motorcycle at the time. And he was a hard worker. I can honestly say throughout our entire time together, that was such a big thing to me, was that he was a hard worker.
Okay, so all really attractive traits. I mean, a hard worker with a Harley.
It was a street bike, but I was young. It was still fun.
Okay, so I totally see the appeal, but this is the Breakup Breakdown. So obviously things come to an end. So tell me about those first red flags that you noticed in the relationship that maybe made you think, ooh, I don't know if this is going to end well.
The red flags were there from the moment that I met him. And that was my issue, was just not following with my discernment and not letting the relationship pursue. So the very first one was, as soon as we had met, he had told me he had a baby on the way, but he'd made it sound like it was coming pretty soon. So we had first met, he'd given me his phone number, and I actually never called him or texted him or anything. And then he had come, it was his last day at that job. And so he had come in a couple months later, and I was
hanging out with my sister in the break room because we worked at the same place. And he was like, oh, sorry, I didn't text you. I got like a new phone number. And I was like, well, it's okay. And I went back to work. Well, then he came up and was talking to my sister and got my number from her because my sister at the time was like 16 or 17. She thought I had already had his number, was fine. Like I didn't go into any details with her. So he started texting me a little bit and just at first made it like he wanted to be friends. And at that point in time, I really thought that was fine. But later, I don't really love like men and women being friends when they're like in relationships like that. I think it's hard. It's just not like something I personally agree with as much anymore. But when I was younger, I was like, yeah, that's fine. So we started off like being friends. And then he kind of started telling me about his like relationship and things that were going wrong in his relationship. And so those were the red flags to start. And then after that, once we actually started dating, there was just always lies. There were always, I was a secret for a really long time, honestly.
How did you know you were a secret?
It was like blatant that it was a secret. He was on parole when we started dating. And we could not, like, for him to date or see someone, he basically had to have permission from his treatment providers. And he was so close to getting off parole, and he had actually just got laid off from his job. And so he didn't have the money to, like, pay for me to meet with the, like, treatment provider people. And so he kept me a secret from his family, not really friends so much, but definitely his family and this, like, parole treatment situation.
What was
and he his on- daughter's mom.
Gotcha. What was he on parole for?
He was on parole for attempted sexual assault on a minor.
Did you know about this when you started dating him?
So I did. When he first told me about it, he said it was like statutory. I asked him to like explain the situation. And he had said that he had met this girl. They were at a pool. He had met her. She had told him and his friend that she was 16. And that later, like a week or two later, he was at a party for spring break and that she was there. They hooked up at this party and that it turned out she was 14, not 16.
Gotcha.
And all of that was a lie.
Gotcha. For context, about how old is he when all this
He was 18, but like still in high school. He hadn't finished high school yet. He was still living at home with his dad, very much still not living as a grown man. He was 18.
Gotcha. I was like, okay, this guy's like 37.
No, no. I just turned 37. So this was a long time ago. But yeah, so none of that turned out to be the truth, which I wouldn't find out for years later.
Okay, gotcha. So he's on parole for that. So you were a secret. And then were there any other red flags that I'm missing in the start of this relationship?
I think at first it was just lying, mostly to other people, not to me. He was just always lying. It was kind of odd to me. I don't love lying. I always just get really like about it. I feel like there's times where it's like, I'm sick, but I'm not like too sick I couldn't work, but I definitely don't want to. I feel like that's a form of lying. But like when you're just blatantly lying about things, I struggle with that.
Yeah, because it's hard to be attracted to someone that you feel like doesn't have integrity. Like it makes
yes.
me, as a woman, it makes me feel unsafe.
Yeah, yes.
So how long do you guys date for? And at what point does the relationship start to decline? Like what kicks that off?
So we dated for not very long before we got married. So we had met in June of 2011 and we got married. So we didn't actually start dating until May of the next year. We were like an official couple. And then we got married on like our 1 year anniversary, like May 25th.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had tried to call off the wedding. I was like begging him the like couple nights before. And I was like, I just don't think we should do this. And he basically gave me the ultimatum. We either get married or we break up.
So talk to me about that logic. Like you didn't want to break up. You just weren't ready to get married.
Yeah, I wasn't ready to get married. We were in a very stressful place. We were fighting the state for custody of his daughter at that point in time. And we were not in a good financial position. I didn't really feel like we knew each other. And I think that it was just also intuition. And I remember even like going to walk to my wedding. I was like, I should not be doing this.
Really?
It was just like a gut feeling, like, do not do this. And I did anyways, obviously. And I can't have like full regrets about it. Because I have the most amazing daughter with him. Like, she's the best. So it's like, it's hard to like regret it, but you also are like, man, I should not have done that.
Yeah. Okay. So you marry this guy. And so how long do you guys stay married and what ultimately ends your relationship?
So we get married 2013, and then we separated early March of 2023. And The reason why we split was because he wanted to like open our marriage or get involved in like swinging.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, tell me about that. Yeah. So how does he open up that conversation and how did you react to it?
So when he had started talking to like an ex-coworker who was a guy, this guy had gone through a divorce and he got involved in all this swinging stuff. And he starts just coming and telling me about it. And I'm just nosy. So I'm like here for like the stories about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is actually just like happening. Like, and I'm like, we're talking about it. We're having open conversations about it. And it's like, I just can't believe people are like doing this. And I don't care what someone else does, as long as it doesn't have an impact on my life. So at this point, it's not really having an impact on my life. And I'm just like hearing these stories, hearing what's going on. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And like, we live in a pretty small town. So you kind of start wondering about people. You kind of start hearing things about certain people and you're like, really them, you know? And so me just being like nosy about it was like my interest in the conversation. So he's telling me about it. And then it basically just starts with him. We have a hot springs here that is like a nude hot springs. And we were going to go to a different hot springs that's like close by. And it was so cold that their pool temperatures were like really, really cold. It was just, I think it was like early March or something we were going to go, or April. So he was like, well, we can just go to this other one. It is clothing optional, so you can still wear clothes. So we were like, whatever, it's fine, we'll go. And we went there, and I feel like after that, everything just kind of snowballed. To me, there was nothing like about that environment that showed any sort of like intentions like that. There were children there, like, which is so weird, right? Like, it wasn't sexual in any way to me, like at all. But there were like people there who were naked. And so it just kind of like, it just started spiraling. And so one day he like starts just kind of like telling me about this fantasy about going there, and that he had heard that there's like, people are pretty open about it in the evening time. There's no kids there. And I'm like, I've never heard this like ever. And so I'm like, this is kind of odd. Like, I've never heard this. When all of a sudden it's like, that's all he's talking about. And then he gets to the point where we start fighting about it. Because every time we were intimate, he would start talking about this. And I was like, oh
in the
gosh.
Middle of like doing it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He would. He would like start like talking about this, like these fantasies he was having. And it got to the point where it was every single time. And I was like, we started fighting about it. And one day I had said, I would rather have an open marriage and not know what you're doing than go to these group things. And I didn't want that either. But to me, it was like, I didn't want like this like swinging marriage situation. He took me saying that and ran with it, as in that's what we were going to do, that I was okay with it. And I absolutely wasn't. It was just one of those things that I had said, like, I like could not, I was trying to like be like, I can't like imagine seeing you with someone else, the amount of guilt I would have with you seeing me with someone else. Like, I don't want to bring that into our marriage. And so one of his biggest things was about an ex-boyfriend that I had, was he did not want me to like get with this ex-boyfriend if we were and I was like, it's not going to happen. Well, just in the midst of all this, that boyfriend starts going through a breakup himself. And my ex was always like following like watching his social media and stuff. And so he knew about it. And basically it was just like, if it's open, then you can't tell me what to do. Like, I just didn't want it to be that way. And so I was trying to be like, no, it's like not going to happen. We had fights about it. I cried about it so many times. It was so bad. And then ultimately we end up splitting and I hang out with said boyfriend and he starts dating someone and he is throwing me under the bus to my entire family. Like not even like admitting that he's dating someone, but he's already admitted to me that the girl that he's dating, she was an active swinger with her ex-husband, and her ex-husband had just left her, and she was like a part of this community, and he kept talking to me about it, and all of my family's like, you guys can't work things out, and I was just like, no. There were so many things that happened between there, but I was like, no, we cannot work things out. And so once I finally told my family what was going on, and I was like, this is like what he's trying to do, my family, and I told them, like, the girl he is dating now, she is a swinger. And obviously, that's what he wants. And so then he turned around and told everybody that just he didn't want to be a swinger. He was just trying to make me happy. And he thought it was what I wanted. Like, literally was, like, gaslighting my entire friends and family. And him and that girl are engaged now. So I don't know what they're involved in. I don't try to, like, find anything out. And then a couple weeks ago, he had popped up on my TikTok and I looked at his account to block him. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to check and see if there's anybody else on his followers or following that I want to block. And I go to it. And as I'm going, there was this like swinging TikTok account that he was following. It was like blatantly like it was swinging. And I took a screenshot of it, blocked all the people I wanted to block. Well, I ended up sending that to one of my friends and she was like, oh my God, the girl above that account, she is in that swinging community.
Wow.
So I don't, like I said, I don't know what he's involved in, but there was just so much lying during this whole time period, so much manipulation throughout the relationship. But ultimately it was, we never aligned in what we thought was okay.
Yeah,
in that aspect.
What I'm hearing is it's almost like you were in an open relationship against your will.
Nothing like ever happened that I was aware of. There was rumor that came out when we split that he had cheated on me with a guy. And I don't know. But other than that, there wasn't anything throughout our marriage or anything that indicated that he was cheating. It felt like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Why do you think people thought he was cheating on you with a guy?
So that guy, he had worked with him and a group of his friends that he had worked with. That guy was gay. He was married to a guy who was friends with a girl in that group. And I guess when they were getting a divorce, that guy that my ex was accused of cheating on me with supposedly told his husband that he had cheated with him. And then my sister was out at the bar and the ex-husband told my sister that. My sister came up and she told me, and I just like my stomach dropped. So I ended up going through his phone to see if I could find anything. And there were some weird kind of like flirty messages between them, but there was no like proof. Like there was nothing that I could find that was like proof that something had happened, which I'm sure he wouldn't have kept anyways.
Yeah. Did you know he was bi?
No, he always denied it. But so one of the things is that when we were going for custody of his daughter, his dad had sent over this file. So I had known that he had told me after we got engaged that when he was like early teens that he had gotten in trouble with a cousin, but it wasn't like a blood related cousin. It was his like stepmom's nephew or something along those lines, that they had gotten in trouble because they had found an adult film and they were watching it, and that he had to like go to this group home and stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. Like he had to do this like therapy and everything. Well, when we were going through custody for his daughter, his dad sent over this file and I read through everything, and it wasn't that just that they found this DVD, they were like reenacting everything, and he was actually quite a bit older. So it was actually a charge, like it was an additional charge, like as a juvenile, but it was like sealed by the court because he was a minor. And there was always this weird stuff with him with other gay men, like very insecure about being called gay or anything like that. And I always just thought it was because he went to prison for a couple of years. But yeah, he denies it. He doesn't think that he is.
So I want to clarify, the original charge or the thing he was on out on parole for, is that the same thing as the reenactment of the films?
No.
Okay, so
no.
Tell me how that ties into everything, him being out on parole for the what he said was statutory rape.
So all of the paperwork that I had ended up like reading and everything was that he had had a lot of exposure to inappropriate things growing up, and that one of his older stepbrothers had like introduced him to these films, and that it became like this compulsive thing for him to watch them. He was like sneaking them and watching them like as much as possible, and it escalated from there to him trying to reenact it with this other kid. But this other kid was actually quite a bit younger than him. I don't remember the exact age gap, but basically it had said that if they were adults, it would have been a felony. Yeah. So all of his paperwork, though, said that the two situations were not related. Like all the psychologists and everything, like in all of his paperwork, basically said that they weren't related situations, that the second one was just him being like a dumb teenage boy. He didn't know, but it wasn't true. So when I was reading through all of his paperwork, there's actually something called a discovery when you get into like legal trouble, and that's all the paperwork. I was completely unaware of this. His dad had sent that over along with all this stuff. So I was able to read his victim's statement, his victim's sister's statement, and I think her parents, and basically read through everything. So this girl was actually not 14. She was 13.
Oh my God.
He actually did not sleep with her at this party. She was at a sleepover with his sister, who was like 12. So he was very aware of her age, and it happened at his house.
And they're reenacting things they had seen on adult films?
No, that was a minor charge. They were separate victims.
Okay. So he was charged for sexual activities with the 13-year-old.
Yes. As an 18-year-old, as an adult. So he had a juvenile charge, and then he had an adult charge as well.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Gotcha. Wow. Okay. And how did you feel when you found that out?
I was just sick because it wasn't anything that he had told me. And at this point, I'm like 6 months pregnant with our daughter.
Oh my
God.
And
we're fighting for custody of his daughter. And I have my son as well. And it was rough. I kept always just questioning him and trying to make sense. And he always had these excuses. And I was also frustrated because I always felt like there was conversations where this got brought up in front of people. Like his best friend was a police officer and defended him and like victim shamed this girl that she had done this to multiple guys, that she had gotten all these DUIs and she would like blame it on what my ex did to her and just all this stuff where it was like it was her fault. And I'm like, you guys, like his friend who became a police officer had even actually, my ex had told me that he had almost slept with her as well. And then it was like even with his dad, all the times that I feel like there was something mentioned about him getting with this girl at a party, his dad never corrected that. Like the police officers were in his house searching through his bedding. They took his like bedding. They went through their trash cans, like in the bathroom. Like how did his dad not know? His dad had this paperwork and nobody ever like was like, that's not what happened. Nobody ever like held him accountable in front of me. So once I found out about it, it became really hard because the story I had been telling all of my friends and family was, oh, this poor guy got lied to and it altered the course of his life. And I always admired him because I felt like he didn't let this stop him in life. Like he had a really good paying job. Like he like, you know, was doing all of these things that people would tell him, no, you can't, we can't like have you work for us. And he would somehow still manage to get this job. And like, I was like, oh, it's because people like see through it and everything. And it really wasn't. So it was just weird to me that nobody ever like called out his behavior of lying about what happened in the situation. And so after a certain amount of time, it was like, I was sick to my stomach every time someone would bring it up. I'm like, I don't want to talk about this because now I'm lying for him, or I'm just sitting there not saying anything. I'm not correcting anything anymore either. And it was just bad. And it just got to the point where it was actually having a huge effect on my social life when people would invite us to things. I didn't want to take him, especially if there was kids around. There were situations where I just felt uncomfortable about like girls who are younger, like you have like friends who have like teen girls and they like think it's funny to come up and like talk to them. He had a friend who had some like games in his house, and one was like a motorcycle like arcade game, and his daughter was like 12 or 13 at the time, came up and like got on the back of the arcade game where my ex-husband was sitting on it. And like he like pulled her dad aside and was like, hey, like I don't feel comfortable with this, like. And so they talked to her and let her know. But I'm just like, you had to like put a 12 or 13 year old in an uncomfortable situation because of like your background. And so it just got to the point where it was like I couldn't do it anymore. And then on top of that is like the amount of like self-loathing that he had and shame and just no self-love whatsoever, which I can see why, but it was like he just became so unhappy and it got to the point where he was just treating everybody so bad. And the level of like the verbal and emotional abuse in our marriage just escalated, and I just didn't have it in me anymore. I was finally just done. But I feel like the swinging part was just like the cherry on top and ended everything.
Yeah, because for you, I mean, that's infidelity. If he wants to be with somebody else,
yes,
you know. It's like, okay, well then we shouldn't be together.
Yeah, and I don't want my husband to want to share me with other men. Like I want my husband to be like, oh, no, that's my wife. You know, I don't want my husband to be like, oh hey, have a turn. Like it's just not how I'm built. Personally.
Yeah. And that's great for the people that are. But if you got into a relationship thinking it's monogamous and you want it to be monogamous, then ultimately that relationship has to end, which it did. And so wondering how this has all affected you. I mean, I'm sure you've looked at everything in hindsight. In hindsight and gone, my God, who was I married to?
Yeah, it has taken a toll for sure. I was in therapy throughout our separation, and I continued with that for a while, and I felt like it was helpful, but I needed something deeper. And so I actually ended up doing ketamine therapy before it got popular on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Yeah, but tell me about that.
The one that I did was at home. So I basically had like a Zoom meeting with someone. I met with a therapist weekly, and then I met with a psychologist before and after every session. And I did eight doses? I did somewhere around there. Doses of sublingual ketamine. And I feel like that's when I started getting like clarity on everything. And for a while, it's just had lingered with me for so long. A couple of months ago, I have been in just pretty much no contact with him as much as possible. We talk through a court parenting app, and I just feel like that's for the best. He's just manipulative, and like he'll make me feel bad for him. So I had normally we just like drive up to each other's house and like drop the kids off, watch for them to go in the door, and then switch back. And so I don't have to see him. Well, our schedules had gotten a little bit wishy-washy. And so I ended up seeing him when we were dropping off our daughter. And he basically pulled me into like almost a 2-hour conversation and was telling me how unhappy he was and like all this stuff. And I was like, at first I was like kind of happy. I was like, he deserves that. But then I also was like, I feel like he's just manipulating me. Mm-hmm. Like he's just manipulating me. So I just essentially went back to like, don't text me, don't call me, just like go on this parenting app. And it kind of is rough because I wanted to start building kind of a better like tolerance for that for my daughter's only 11, so we have quite a few years and a lot of big milestones and everything. My son graduates high school this year. And so there's situations where it's like, we're going to have to be in the same room together. Our kids are probably going to get married, have their own kids. And so I'm trying to get to a place where I'm not just fuming. And I think if he had just sat down and been like, hey, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore, things would have been entirely different. But the end of our marriage was so bad. So we had been separated and he convinced me to go back. And he blocked the girl that he's dating for 10 whole days. And so he had blocked her and we tried to like make things work. We got into an argument and I was working a second job at this point in time. And so I had gone to my second job and I came home and he wasn't home. And I had a way to track his phone. So I did. I just had a feeling. And sure enough, he was sitting in her car at a parking lot at a grocery store. And I lost my mind. I like got out and I was like, can you please come talk to me? Because to me, it was like our kids had already been through it. Like we had tried like splitting up and getting back together like multiple times throughout this like year. And so I was just like, can you please like talk to me? And like he just got pretty nasty. I got mad. Punched the car windows. Like, oh, wow. I literally lost my mind in that moment and had to like come back to like a good reality. And I feel like just having him not in my life is like for the best for me, but it's hard because we do share a child. So I'm still working on things, mostly just trying to forgive. And it's so hard for me. I feel like I'm like, there's no feelings there anymore. It's just, how do you lie? And then I think the hard part too is when my kids come home and he's still doing nasty things to them or they're upset because of how he's treating his current girlfriend. It's just so hard for me to like move on and forget because he hasn't changed. And he tries to tell me he has. And it's like, no,
yeah,
you haven't. And so it's rough. But I feel like I'm like just been healing quite a bit, doing a lot of like focus on me. I'm still doing a little bit of therapy and I was like, I need another outlet. I need somewhere where this can live outside of me in another energetic place. I have wrote this, a lot of this down like in a diary and everything. And I'm like, it's just not cutting it. And so I was like, I'm gonna make a video and I didn't edit anything. I didn't watch anything back. I just started talking and was like, I need this out of me and somewhere else.
Yeah.
And also, unfortunately, I do know a lot of people who have these types of backgrounds and these men are never single, like ever. And I know so many women who are in marriages or relationships with men who have these backgrounds and they lie about them. And it's really hard to get the truth on everything because once they take a plea bargain, it's hard to tell what the initial charge was and trying to get information, especially if there was like a victim involved, like a minor victim involved. It's just really difficult. And so I'm like, you've got to ask the right questions. And even then you might not like know everything.
Yeah. Well, for sure. There's a lot of power in sharing your story, A, so people know what to look out for, mm-hmm. B, so people don't feel alone, but C, also it's just nice to be validated that what you went through was like kind of crazy and yes. Can all understand from a human standpoint how you must feel in this situation.
Yeah.
I'm very fascinated with the ketamine therapy and how that helps you through this healing journey. Talk to me about like, what does that look like? What do you experience? And did you actually feel like it gave you some healing through this?
Yes. So prior to me doing the ketamine therapy, the reason why I did it is that I was ruminating so bad. So basically just rethinking every scenario and how things went wrong and how I should have made these better choices and just thinking it over and over, like replaying it in my head. And it got to the point where it was like, so like I was having a hard time with just everyday life because my mind was just running so bad. I wasn't sleeping or anything because my mind was just going and trying to make sense of what had happened. And so I started looking into medication, but at one point in my marriage, I had gotten so depressed and anxiety filled. I had taken Lexapro and I tried other medications and I didn't do well on them. And so I was nervous to go back on like a daily medication. And so I started kind of trying to look into some options and I can't remember what it was called. It's like an online one. And so I met with like a psychologist online and we talked about it. And I told him that was the main thing that I was struggling with is I couldn't get a break from it. I would try to like interrupt my own thoughts and it just wasn't working. And so basically you put it under your tongue, you have to hold it for a long time and it tastes like pretty gross. It tastes like an orange peel or something. Like it's like pretty bitter. You have to hold it under your tongue and then you you have to spit it out, and then you kind of just relax. And there's a person there who goes through like a guided meditation, and have like you're very aware of what you're doing and where you're at. With the sublingual one, I don't know about the intravenous. I think that's like a little bit more intense. I've heard about people having some pretty bad reactions with that, but you know what you're doing, but like you kind of go into almost like a light dream and have like these weird like scenarios. So I had one where it was like I was just out in this nature and I was wearing this white like flowy dress, and I was just like you, I'm like watching myself at first, and then I kind of like come into my body at one point, and people in my life started like coming up to me, and like I had this like glowing pink, and when I would touch them they would turn like a color. It was very weird. And at the end my ex-husband came up, and he was like a grayish black like glow, and I was like, that was so weird. And so when I got out of the treatment, I looked up like what auras were, like the colors were, and I looked at what each person was, and I was like, they all aligned. I don't know all the information about auras or anything, but I was like, I remember thinking like while I was in the treatment, like, are these auras? Like, what are these? And when I like came out of it, it was like they matched up with everything that my feelings towards those people are. And so it's really weird like that. You're basically hallucinating. Wow. And somehow it's healing.
It's healing in the sense that those scenarios help you look at your life in a different way, or is the actual drug like healing parts?
The actual drug like is healing towards the brain. I guess it can help with people who like struggle with like addictions and things like that. And some people take like a low dose permanently.
Oh, wow.
Periods of time. Yeah.
What for you was the hardest thing for you to move past within, whether it's ketamine therapy or regular therapy? Like what did you really feel like you had to overcome in this?
Still is, it's the forgiveness part of it, because he didn't have to lie to me. He could have just said, hey, I don't want to be married to you. Like, let's get a divorce. And I feel like things could have been entirely different. Our co-parenting could have been entirely different. He's kind of expressed that he's upset that my family doesn't have a relationship with him. And I'm like, it's because of the way you went about things. I've never told anybody that they can't have a relationship with you. They have chosen not to, because he lied to my family as well about things, you know? And I'm just like, lying really just doesn't get you anywhere. And so that's been the hardest part, is the forgiveness. Especially because it's had an impact on my kids that I don't feel like it needed to.
Yeah. Why do you feel like forgiveness is hard for you to give to him?
I feel like forgiveness in general is hard for me, but I think to me, I'm like, you're an adult and you could have just communicated. You could have just told me, like, you knew what you were doing, and you put this other girl on pause and tried to come back on to like our marriage. And then when I didn't come back and was like, oh my gosh, things are amazing, because they weren't, he went and did this behind my back. And I remember telling him, I said, it's her or me right now. And he said her. And I was like, okay. Like, you could have just said that. You could have waited until I got home and been like, hey, this isn't working. This other girl, she makes me feel better than you do. And it's just time for us to end this. And that would have been fine. But when you go behind someone's back and do all the things that he has done, you're an adult and you knew better, you know? And it's just like, it's completely unnecessary. And I think the worst part is he continues to do these things. Like my kids came home one day and they were upset because he had told his new girlfriend that if she didn't lose weight, he was going to shave his beard off. And I'm like, why are you still being manipulative? Why are you still being abusive? And we had a phone conversation, and I had asked him, I'm like, are you in love with her? And I think he took it as me asking, like, are you still in love with me? Which I wasn't. To me, it was like, if you're treating someone that you think you're actually in love with this way, then it makes sense how you were able to treat me the way that you treated me throughout our entire marriage, because you think that that's love. Like, you think that it's okay. And he just continues to behave that way. And so it's like, how do you forgive someone when they're still doing what they're doing? Mm-hmm. And he tried to come up and be like, I'm working on holding myself accountable. Yada, like all these things after we had this one in-person conversation in almost 3 years. And I was like, no, you're not. Because my kids tell me, like, and kids are, they view everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's the hardest part for me. I'm just like, it's so hard for me to actively forgive him when he's still be carrying on these same behaviors.
Girl, I don't blame you. And I feel like there's always so much pressure for victims to find forgiveness for the other person. And I'm sure a therapist could give me a million reasons why it's more healing for you to like let go and whatever. Sometimes I feel like forgiveness is overrated. Like, especially if the person's like actively still karming, causing harm to others. I'm like, I'm not forgiving that person. They're still out on a tirade. So I for sure see you there. Unfortunately, people are going to see themselves in your story, but I think that's the important reason why you've got to share it and why others, I think it's important for them to share their story too. So for anyone who does identify with the things that you went through, what's some advice you would give them to help them through their own healing journey, other than ketamine?
If you can do ketamine, it's great, but it's not for everybody. I was really nervous because I've never done any sort of like experimental things like that. And so I was nervous to do it, but I was also just very desperate at that point in time. And then I've seen a lot like that TV show. They were doing the ketamine and people were making like memes and videos about it. I was like, I kind of feel dumb for doing it, but I did it like before that was this like popular thing. So it was kind of funny seeing it afterwards. But I think for me, like at this point in time in my life, is like when it comes to relationships with other people, is if things aren't adding up, there's a reason why. I just don't tolerate lying anymore. And also, I just will never, ever, ever try to love someone more than they can love themselves because they will just make it to where you don't love yourself. And I'm not going to try to like heal someone else's like childhood wounds, like all the excuses that I made for him. I just refuse to do that anymore for anyone. And to me, I feel like we're all responsible for those things. We're responsible for our mental health. We cannot just go around treating people badly because we went through things in life. And so for me, it's like, I'm not going to put myself, like sacrifice myself to like try to make someone else feel loved. And that's what I did that entire marriage was if I just loved him enough, then he would treat me right. And it just doesn't work. And I think just making sure that when you get into a relationship, not to ignore those red flags. I mean, I was collecting them like they were souvenirs throughout that whole thing. And I like knowing when to walk away, like and ending a relationship. I've had to do it since my marriage, and it's hard, but I just feel so much better than like dragging myself through. These like through this trauma. And I know it sounds bad in a way, but sometimes I'm like, I get to the point where I'm just like, if I keep going back and I keep going back and I keep going back, at some point, I can't really just say I'm like a full victim anymore, if that makes sense. Like I know what I'm doing and I'm going back to something. And if I have the experience with it, and I'm not talking about like the abuse like initially or anything like that, but if you just keep making the same choices over and over again, like you need to stop and heal yourself because you're making these choices too. And people are like hurting you based on these choices that you're allowing it at a certain point, you know? And it's like you kind of like take responsibility for at a certain point, this person does not have the control to make you stay. Unless your relationship isn't like that bad, but like you just keep returning to the same behaviors and the same type of person. Like you need to stop dating. You need to stop being in relationships and like work on like actually healing yourself before you like go further with anybody else because you just end up attracting the same type of people and accepting the same behaviors.
So I have drawn back on some of the breakdown bonus episodes because I've been doing it for so long that some of the topics got a little repetitive, but we've never covered ketamine therapy in any kind of trauma or breakup recovery. And so I'm having an expert come on tomorrow to talk about who could benefit from ketamine therapy, what it looks like to go under ketamine therapy, and what it actually does to your body to help you heal. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba summertime. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.